Several minutes ago, Beth and Pete read for us from the book of Luke chapter 2. And I want us to just spend a few minutes this evening kind of dissecting that a little bit, considering that passage and how those few verses can really change our lives forever. I love the fact that in these verses, God uses ordinary people. People like you, people like me, as a major part of offering this extraordinary hope, this extraordinary gift in Jesus Christ to anybody who would receive it. Just think about it. Mary and Joseph, not prominent people by any means, not elite people from Jerusalem, rather, they were peasant people from the hillside of Galilee. Joseph does come from the lineage of David. But it's easy for us to forget sometimes that David, before he was made a king, he was a young shepherd boy. The shepherds were the lowest rung on the ladder. In Luke 2, we see that Jesus is born in the midst of political time. And his parents are forced to do what everybody else is forced to do. They're not given any kind of special privileges. Caesar Augustus has the power over the people in the entire Roman world. And that power is huge. Rome had conquered so many lands. It was time to count the people, to work at figuring out what their tax rates would be, to remind the citizens who was in charge, in a sense. It's also a reminder to the people of who provides for their well-being and for their protection and for their needs. It's the empire that controls the military and the infrastructure these people need to live out day in and day out. Therefore, when they come to take what is theirs, when they come to take and collect their taxes, you give it to them. They provide everything. And so, young Mary and Joseph, they're caught in the middle of this census, and they obediently do as they have been told to do. They leave their home in Nazareth, and they travel to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem. The trip certainly couldn't have been an easy one. We all know that, given the fact that Mary was as pregnant as she was. But they drop all their plans and they do exactly as they're told to do. You know that Mary and Joseph, I'm going to guess that they probably didn't want to go in that moment. You have to wonder if they had questions in that moment when they're packing up and heading out on this trip with this very pregnant Mary. I know I would certainly have questions. This child is supposed to be somebody who will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And this is the way he's going to come. He's supposed to reign over the kingdom that will never end. And this is the way. But why is God doing this through us? And under such uncomfortable circumstances, did we get it wrong? Would be a fair question. Mary and Joseph aren't too different than you or I. I'm guessing that they had those kind of questions. Life wasn't easy for them. They sometimes, I'm sure, doubted themselves and even doubted God. They have to follow the laws of the land, so they do. They get caught up in the events that are going on around them. Their schedules must be arranged and rearranged according to what's happening politically, in this case, environmentally, you name it. And when it's time for Mary to give birth to Jesus, all the hotels are already booked. There's no room for them in the inn. Other folks who got there before them, they had scooped up all the rooms. They are the least in this moment. They are the last. They are the ordinary. Have you ever felt like that? The truth is that we actually have it really, really good in comparison to most of the people in the world. We have shelter. We've never been forced to sleep in a barn due to a lack of other places to stay. Children are born in hospitals, not in barns. I think it's probably safe to say that there's no children that are here this evening that were born in a barn, even though when we as parents walk through their rooms, we sometimes wonder about that. Today, children, let's be honest, they're born in like these excellent sterile hospitals, and they're delivered by nurses and doctors who are well educated. They know exactly what they're doing. Jesus was born in much less than that. In a manger. A dirty feeding trough for animals. Whenever you feel low, whenever you feel last or forgotten or dirty or marginalized and poor, think of Jesus. He's been there. Call out to Jesus. He can relate to you. It's really easy for us to get down and angry about this life because things aren't always easy. We get cut and we bleed, right? Our best laid plans are often interrupted. They do not go as we anticipated. The government seems so often to not be on our side of things. We don't always feel like we're in control of our destiny. There are things that we have to do simply because they are the way that things are done, or we're following the laws of the land. That's the way it was for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And that's the way it is for us as well. And when you really think about it, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Because Jesus is God with us. In every way we could possibly imagine, it's God with us. God didn't leave anything or anyone out. Jesus came into this world for every single one of us. He is a king, but yet he is a peasant. He is without sin, but yet he spent his entire ministry ministering to sinners. He was an innocent man, yet he died the death of a criminal. Life wasn't easy. He was tempted, he was hated, he was poor, he was betrayed, he was executed. But his life and death are what bring us peace. The promise of peace made by Rome came by power and violence at any cost. And the emperor had power over everybody. The baby Jesus, on the other hand, he grew into a storytelling teacher and healer who proclaimed the power of God through humility, nonviolence, compassion, love for God, neighbor, and self. Of course, Rome would be the power which would eventually crucify Jesus. But the power of a human system is no match compared to the power of the loving God that we know. Jesus in the manger, Jesus on the cross, is Jesus with us rather than Jesus over us. The God who lifts up the oppressed and fills those who are hungry in body, mind, and soul turns the tables on the powers of this world. And those who will come to Him, who will believe in His name, allowing Him to be Lord of their lives, will experience the peace which transcends all understanding. And the joy which comes no matter what the circumstances are on the outside. Just think about it. The shepherds returning from their flocks in the fields, they set a great example to us of a fitting response to God's saving work in Jesus Christ. They returned, it says, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen. Even though their outward circumstances hadn't changed one bit. Nothing changed for them. They were still shepherds. They nor the rest of the world has ever been the same. God has entered our human story. The question that I leave you with tonight is this. Will you, have you, will you allow Him to enter your life, your story? That's the greatest gift that you can ever receive. That is what we celebrate at Christmas, is God with us. Jesus brings hope. Jesus brings light into the darkness. Jesus brings light into this world. We are given the opportunity to receive His light and to spread that light to others through our actions and through our words. And when we do so, the world is never the same. Light changes darkness. And the reason for the celebration that we enter into this season is all because of God's demonstration of love for each one of us through sending Jesus that first Christmas. So as a symbol of God's love this evening, we're going to end our service with a candle lighting. This will represent Jesus and the hope that He brings spreading through the world. But I also encourage you to remember that this only happened because of God's love for you. A love that is so rich, so deep, that He sent His Son for you.